Amen. Almighty and eternal Father, we thank Thee that we can come to Thy presence to be guided by Thy word, to seek Thy guidance and advice, to recognize that Thou art the King of the kingdom. We are Thy subjects as well as Thou art our Father, and we are Thy children. We're thankful, our Father, that You have ordained Thy kingdom shall survive, overthrow the powers of darkness and the forces of evil. We pray, our Father, that we might understand better the significance of the powers that lie in the hands of the forces of darkness, the triumph that we have through Christ. We're thankful, our Father, that Thy kingdom is an eternal kingdom and shall never be left to other peoples. We pray, our Father, that we might recognize in the pattern of Thy atonement so great a power and so great a salvation, power for healing and power for vital living, power that shall overcome the enemy and shall grant unto Thy children of Thy kingdom an eternal power that was never to be left to other peoples at any time. So we commit ourselves to Thy hand, saying, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. Well, this afternoon we're going to talk to you on the subject of our battle against modern witchcraft. We can assure you that witchcraft is a very, very active and very prevalent activity. A great number of people, of course, that are they think they're sophisticated in this generation, and they no longer have to recognize that there ever was witches or wizards or necronomancers. They do not recognize that witchcraft is a reality, and they do not understand anything about it, and may be the very victims of it, because they do not, therefore, pay any attention to it. So I want you to recognize that the Scripture does talk about the powers of Lucifer. It does also talk about his wisdom, and he filled up the sum of wisdom, and was wiser even than Daniel in the days of his rebellion. Lucifer, as an archangel coming out against God, came out with satanic darkness and satanic wisdom. When he took over the nations of the world, he took them over and became prince of this world until God established his own household and his own race in the earth to combat Lucifer. The Adamic race was placed here as the victorious occupation of the children of the Most High God of the earth. And out of them was to emerge a kingdom which would be the kingdom of God that was going to conquer the powers of darkness and the forces of Lucifer. Now do not think for a moment that Lucifer fights in a mundane way. Do not expect him always to be utilizing the procedures that are utilized by men normally in battle. But Lucifer will use all the skills and all the dark arts and all the patterns of darkness that he's capable of. And so he moves out in an area of darkness and an area of evil in his combat. In fact, when God gave the laws to Moses, and he gave them on Mount Sinai, and he came in with thousands of his weaving offspring and a great sky fleet settled on Mount Sinai, which we're told in the Scripture, and he was given the laws, Moses was also told that in the establishment of the kingdom of God, thou shalt not suffer a witch or a wizard or an necromancer to live. Thou shalt put a witch or a wizard to death. Now, by this procedure again, I only cite this because it is an important and significant thing that witches and wizards, necronomancers, and generally they are the offspring of Lucifer and are his unassimilatable people, but these are the people that should never be permitted inside a nation of God's kingdom. And they will work their foul and evil program against the children of God in all times and in all ages. And it is not superstition to recognize that Lucifer works with supernatural power. He performs all types of things which are of no use. He attracts the attention. He gets the gullible, or he attracts the attention of individuals because of the phenomena or the peculiar operations that they perform. But all he needs to do is to catch the interest, and then he moves on from interest to control, and very, very soon the individual finds that he, without any knowledge, is supporting the policies of Lucifer against the program of God's kingdom. Actually, the program of utilizing witches and wizards and mediums and necromancers is an old and a very ancient art. There are many procedures with which the supernatural powers of Lucifer at work. God, recognizing this, has also armed the children of his kingdom with supernatural power. He has told them that he pours out his Holy Spirit upon them and will give them his Holy Spirit that they may be able to stand against the wiles of evil. That they will, with the power of God's Holy Spirit, be able to overcome the power of Lucifer and his mystic and supernatural acts. As by the same token also, the individual Christian has, since the crucifixion and of Christ, he has another angle which he can apply, and apply very successfully. He not only has the name of the embodied Messiah as Yahshua or Jesus, and he may claim and may use that name against the powers of darkness, and the powers of darkness will fail. He may also apply the effective blood of the atonement, which not only covers the individual, removes from him his transgression as far as the east is from the west, grants unto him health and vitality and healing, but he may use the blood of Christ to cover by the principle of application all of the works that Satan is seeking to destroy. There is no question about the pattern of the darkness and of the evil of the day. There are many procedures which are used, which are part of ancient witchcraft. The utilization of hypnotism is teetotally 100% an occult art of Lucifer. And he utilizes this and gradually utilizes it, and he has whole areas of your society mesmerized and hypnotized even now. Not only is hypnotism an area of darkness, and you're told to keep possession of your consciousness and keep possession of your mind and to be of a sound mind, but it is referred to as the ancient pattern of witchcraft. The area of the necromancer is also, much like the hypnotist, an area of the control and the mesmerism of the human mind for the processes of evil and from the winning away of the great policies of the kingdom to the works of darkness and the procedures of darkness. The witch of Endor was a medium who worked for Lucifer, and she was very much surprised when the King Saul came to her and was brought to her and asked to have her resurrect or bring before him the spirit of Samuel the prophet. Well, of course, she knew that she never would get a real spirit. She always got familiar spirits. Familiar spirits are fallen angels and offsprings of Lucifer who can appear and can take on even the characteristics in the face and all that goes along with the personality of someone that has been departed. The medium in this instance will therefore produce a image of the individual fleetingly, or the voice of the individual who will tell them things which are not true, will guide them wrongly and evilly. And so, but many people have been learned by the phenomenon, by the mysticism, to move in to this area of darkness. And so Saul, in this hour, went to the witch of Endor, and she said, and so she called for an evil spirit, to become the medium to falsely advise Saul. And God performed a miracle, and Samuel came out, and when she saw Samuel, the medium fell off and was frightened to death and almost died, because Samuel was the one that came and spoke to Saul. And Samuel told Saul about his evil and about the things that would happen. And so this was the one instance where the witch of Endor didn't get the evil spirit that she designed. We do not say, however, that there can never be an appearance of someone that has passed away that can be sent of heaven to give advice. We do not say that the spiritual forces of the entities of the thousands upon thousands of the children of God are not sent on heavenly messages, on heavenly missions, that they do not, with intuition and with guidance, somehow affect the structure of God's kingdom. Moses and Elias came and talked to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they went back into the dimensions of spirit. But we want you to know that the mediums today do not bring up, and by mediumship they do not bring up any of the dead. They bring up only the evil spirits and pattern of witchcraft in our modern period of time. We are to note that this is an inherent pattern of great evil. I want you to know that witchcraft today is working incessantly to gain and to control the mastery of the children of the kingdom. More than this, Lucifer believes that he can hold the kingdom of God by bringing the allegiance of the children of God to his dark and evil arts. So witchcraft is the art of evil deception practiced by miracle and by outstanding procedures such as supernatural evidences of things which are basically error. And this is the procedure that Lucifer uses. The Ouija board happens to be one of Lucifer's top areas of witchcraft. Did you know that Ouija is one of the advising spirits that rebelled with Lucifer and fell with Lucifer and is named in Enoch? Ouija is the answerer of questions and is the guiding advisory spirit that rebelled with Lucifer, consorted with Lilith, and is one of the fallen angels of Lucifer's time. Is a demon and a devil, and by such procedure is never to have been called upon. But about 100 years ago, they even brought out what was called a Ouija board. And a Ouija board, of course, has yes and no and circles on either side, the semicircle of letters, the semicircle of numbers, and a small type of easel in which two people rest their hands on it, and they ask questions of Ouija, and it goes and spells out the answers. And as it spells out the answers, it is being activated by an evil spirit. There is no question about this. No Christian should keep a Ouija board in his house, for he is not only entertaining witchcraft, but he is intriguing Satan for answers to his problems. Now, of course, over the last 100 years, this thing has become so spread out that even now Parker bought out the right to make Ouija boards. They make them in plastic, and that they still continue to operate and to work. The one thing about a Ouija board that so every Christian will denote what an evil thing it is. If you ask a Ouija board a question about Jesus Christ, it goes frantic, it goes crazy, it screams out the answers as it virtually hops up and down the pedestal on the board. At no time does a Ouija board, when asked a question about Jesus, do anything but curse and swear and scream. In fact, the Ouija board will always answer that Jesus is a false and evil spirit. And then it starts to go off into blasphemy and cursing and again establishes itself. Ouija is one of the saddest mysteries of witchcraft that exists today. Now, let me point this out to you. That today in Los Angeles, for instance, you have an extraordinary number of Ouija boards. All the hippies have them. All of the people throughout the community that move with the world with Hollywood's strange presentation of it will find them. People entering into the homes of them will discover that 90% of these people that are not actively a part of the church are depending on Ouija boards and listening to Ouija boards for its advice. Now, you may not think this, but I want you to know that all the way across the country, this thing has had a tremendous upsurge in our time. In fact, a Ouija board cannot work when a true Christian comes out and puts it under the blood of Christ or names the name of Christ, and it doesn't work. It curses and screams, but it doesn't work. It will go out and spell all of the evil that is a part of its operation. I want to point out to you today that even the presence of a Ouija board in a home brings a curse upon that home, and that should be thrown out and eliminated because it is modern witchcraft even now in use and has been in use for 100 years. But today, in 1967, it is sweeping America. There are more Ouija boards and there are more homes that have Ouija boards than don't have them. Now think that over. That means that 100 million of them are close to that have been sold in the United States and Europe, and there's better than 60 million Ouija boards in the United States right now. So this just goes to show you that modern witchcraft is still at work against the children of God's kingdom. In fact, when in the days of the Necronomicers first showed up in our records in Egypt. And that's when they took young men of the children of Israel, and they would give them certain Egyptian foods that would cause them to slumber. And they would slumber very deeply. And they would take these sleeping young men into the house of Set. Set, of course, is one of the deadly gods of evil. And, of course, the gods of Set and Thoth were gods in ancient Egypt. And God Set, or Sati, was the god of darkness. And the priests would take these sleeping young Israelites there. And they would whisper into their ear while they slept. And they would whisper by the hour into their ear. They would whisper, Yahweh is not God. Yahweh is not God. Yahweh is that not God. They would whisper all kinds of pagan things. This God is God. That God is God. All gods are God, but Yahweh is not God. Then when the young man would wake up 3 or 4 hours later, this constant knowledge would move into areas of his subconscious mind while it had no reasoning power of resistance because he was asleep. And since there was no reasoning power, this is called a necronomancer. It is a sleep talker or a wizard that talks while men sleep. Now, this is what a necronomancer is. A wizard or a witch that talks while men sleep and fills them with the darkness of thought while they have no reasoning capacity to understand or to resist. And when that young man would awaken, his thoughts and mind would be filled with the fact that Yahweh wasn't God, that the pagan gods were God, that all these things would be right. Today, they are utilizing the very same process in our modern time. Did you know, for instance, that in advertising that the FCC has decided they can't use the film blips anymore in theaters and in the areas of advertising on the radio? They would use a film blip. In other words, this would be just a blip in which about 12 frames would cite that you're thirsty for a Coca-Cola or you want a cigarette or something, and you would never even see but a flip across the screen. Did you know that your mind and eye recorded that flip, and that after they discovered that by putting repeating flips on that a person would get thirsty for a Coke or so forth? Well, this is called repetition, and because of this, it was actually a sort of a commercial witchcraft of your time. But they have been utilizing this to put all kinds of ideas into the human mind. In fact, the colleges of today talk about how sleep learning is the most important thing. fact, a person puts on an hour and a half tape and they go to sleep with a speaker under their pillow, and this talks to them while they sleep, and when they awaken, they can answer 60% of the material that was on that tape. If they hear that tape three times, they can answer perfectly any question that's asked to them because it becomes a part of their subconscious mind. And psychiatrists and psychologists are pushing this. This is called sleep learning today. It's being used highly in colleges. Now, some of the films on the United Nations and on world government and these procedures, we have happened to listen to these tapes, and they are absolutely taking a person away from all concepts of independence or sovereignty. The questions on race and on these things are vicious and represent a total pattern of integration and mongrelization and false teaching. Well, the fact remains that you are to remain a sound mind. You are to keep control of your mind, the scripture says. You're never to let it to be captured. You're never to listen then while you sleep. Never permit any of these people to get to you while you sleep. Though today, the necronomicon is operating in many and peculiar facets. The operation of mesmerism and the repetition of error is turned loose upon your society. Let me point out to you that constantly in your society is the policies of darkness being played. In the areas of television, you are well aware, of course, that the propaganda is always on. Someone says, well, how do we know that this takes effect? Well, I'll tell you how you know. In fact, I imagine almost any of you can come out and tell you why they make it wrong, because you've heard so many cigarette commercials on this particular ad. You can talk to the average person, and when you come up to him, why, he can repeat about 20 of the commercials he's heard for liquor or for cigarettes or for any of these things. What? He has watched this, so even though his mind is set against it, say, still he hears this thing. This is called the type of mesmerism. It's a type of witchcraft and falls back again on necronomancy. All right, now by the same policies, they have put out all types of doctrine over radio and television, and we have watched a nation in one generation. Why, 25 years ago, if you talked about surrendering your independence or your sovereignty, it never would have been thought that it would be possible. Everybody was for the Declaration of Independence, and when they even started the United Nations, they thought this is going to be a great organization for men to talk things over, even though the designers had designed it for world government and the program of the Antichrist. Now, many people may have objected, but they started it mildly, but they've been talking, until today you have a hard job with over half of the people to get them against this program. They're for this, they're for our world government, they're no longer for sovereignty or independence, they're for integration or for mongrelization. It's been rolled into their minds and rolled into the minds by press and by radio and by newspaper. All right, this again is a part of the witchcraft of necromancy that is practiced today by Lucifer. Oh, there is no question about the fact that modern witchcraft seeks to get people into the areas of the familiar spirits and the Ouija board and all these patterns, or for even seeking mediumship. In fact, they'll do things like elevating tables, or they will do other things like some of the spiritualists today are able to project on a small screen a picture of what's going on in their mind as light rays emanate out of the eyeball, and there's no area inside of the human brain to produce light to shine out of the eyeball to produce the image of the so-called picture on the screen. Men like Johnson, one of the greatest spiritualists in this country, and there's four or five others, are able to do this, and they attract people's attention. They get their interest because it's phenomena, it's supernatural. And they move to see this, and before long, they trap these people into the policies of Satanism and to actually move into the doctrines of witchcraft. Witchcraft is being practiced today. Seances are going on in colleges and in high schools. They have had special sessions in the eastern portion of the United States, and especially in New York City, where they have had unparalleled results of swinging young people into this peculiar area of witchcraft in your time. The scripture talks about how God says, and I will destroy the witchcraft out of thy land, and I'm going to war against the heathen. And here God speaks out, and he says, for following witchcraft, then follows idolatry and paganism. Now, I think that it would be a great thing when God cuts the witchcraft out of this land. Because we not only have witchcraft in this land, but we have the soothsayers and we have the idolaters. After all, you know, get rid of Mr. McNamara, who is a big man in the Pentagon, but he's a Buddhist. Hear this now, he's a Buddhist, and he worshipped when he went over in Saigon in Buddhist temples. We do not need any idol-worshipping Buddhists in positions of power in the United States of America. It's all right down in Israel, because they don't serve God anyhow, and when they had Ben Gurion, who was a Zen Buddhist, and others down there, this is normal. In fact, they tell us about Israel, right?
that Asiatics are so on the increase among the Jews of Jerusalem that soon Buddhism may become the most active faith in Palestine. But we don't want Buddhism as an active faith here. The charlatans of necromancy and the witchcrafts of Buddhism are well known. Their saffron robed priests pray constantly and continually for the defeat of Christian civilization. In fact, as they assemble and as they meditate upon these factors, they call curses on your army and upon your representatives, and yet you're over in the Vietnamese area, and over the half of the people you're fighting for are supposed to be Buddhists, the people you're fighting against are Buddhists, and the Buddhists are against your Christian nation and against your Christian society at all times. Buddhism supports world communism because it's against because they want to oppose and destroy the areas of Christianity. Not only is this mesmerism followed, but I want you to realize today that to the hippie generation, you have 25% of your youth in your nation that are acting in the most idiotic fashion. The first place, their hair grows long and their clothes become grotesque and their patterns are a revolt against the laws and the standards of your civilization. In their revolt against this, they revolt against sexual responsibility, against human decency, against all the things that are right. They revolt against the status of the home and against parents. And all of this is witchcraft again. They were taught this witchcraft in their schools by their professors. They were taught it by the Jews that have moved into your colleges. And with it, they were told the area of revolt against the things which are good. The constant repetition had its effect, and youth, which formulated its opinion without being able to evaluate, and you have the hippie generation. Now, along with this, you've had witchcraft move into your pulpits because there have been too many men that have moved into the pulpits of the government, of the churches of America and of the Western world, who have no call to preach because they have no vision and no inspiration. They don't believe in the doctrines of the Bible. They don't believe in the inspiration of the Scripture. And they don't believe that the embodiment of God ever stood on earth. And yet they preach inside the pulpits the constant and continual pattern that the communist press has placed in their minds. Actually, again, we have witchcraft where by repetition they hope by necromancy, even while men are awake, but while their minds are not active, the average person that goes to hear these men go to church, they sit there for 20 minutes and then they get up and they go home. They don't resist, they don't fight, they just listen. But the fact is that you are to set your minds against the works of evil. You are to bring every thought in your mind captive to the embodied Christ, and Christ is to be the mediator in your thoughts. And so by this procedure, therefore, you are to bring the cause of Christ, the program of the kingdom, and the scriptures against every principle and every idea that would invade your mind. And by this, again, you have the filtration system of God that keeps the patterns of truth as the only great citadel, the only great truth that can emerge in the citadel of your mind. Now, there is no question about the fact that this is an area of supernatural patterns. Lucifer is doing tricks and all types of tricks in order to attract men's attention. And then by these tricks, he leads them into the areas of darkness. And today, some of the most sophisticated people that say, oh, we don't believe in witchcraft, fall for the very policies that Lucifer has been turning loose upon the nations of the Western world. There's no question about the power and the peculiar policies in which witchcraft has been able to proceed. And so God speaks out again. He says, I'm going to destroy the witches and the wizards. I'm going to drive off the witchcraft out of thy land. I'm going to war upon the heathen. I'm going to move after the idolater and to those that have turned to the multitude of gods. And this is, again, the instance of this. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it tells us in the latter day that fallen evil spirits would come out of the inner earth and out of the citadel of Satan, even like smoke over the land. And the latter days, the days in which you and I are living, we're told that Luciferianism and the powers of darkness would then spread out and they would cover the land to battle the kingdom of God. What preparation has been prepared for this? Remember that one of the first things that Christ did in his ministry, as he spoke to the children of the kingdom, and he didn't come to any other people, he spoke in Palestine to Judah and Benjamin, and then he spoke to Israel when he was over in the land of Britain, and he sent his disciples out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In the areas where witchcraft was strongest, such as in Asia and Africa, the Holy Spirit was not at that time desirous of spreading the gospel. In fact, he told the Apostle Paul, he forbade him to go into the lands and to the countries of far Asia and to stay with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is what the Apostle Paul has to say about the areas of his own ministry. Now, therefore, remember that Christ not only on his crucifixion was to gain entrance and to conquer the powers of darkness. And so as the Jews crucified Christ, they thought they were killing the embodied God. They thought they were forever delivering the kingdom into the hands of Lucifer, whose witchcrafts they were practicing. And so as Christ hung upon that cross and then said, "It is finished," and into the fullness of the celestial destiny which was his, he commended the area of his spirit. He then was said it was finished, and the body of God was dead. But the soul consciousness of God stormed the inner world. And of course we have the biblical narrative of the cry of God, "Open up ye gates, open up ye everlasting gates, the King of glory shall come in." Now this is a field in which the soul consciousness and the existence of men lie in their capacity to remember, to think, and in a thought dimension as well, because as God stormed those eternal gates of the netherworld, the prince of hell in Beelzebub says, "Who's at the gates?" And it says, "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle is at the gates. Open up the everlasting gates, the King of glory shall come in." Well, you can't come in here. This is reserved unto us. But God had fulfilled by death and had accomplished the right to enter into the nether world. And so he stormed the gates, and the gates of iron and brass were broken, it says, and the King of glory went into the nether world. And while there, he preached the gospel of his kingdom and told them the great mysteries of the kingdom. And he talked to Adam all the way down to his time, to every last one of the children of his kingdom. And when Christ emerged out of the nether world, he brought forth captivity captive and took his many sons up to glory. Now, when this transpired, Christ won a victory over the powers of Lucifer and over the powers of darkness. One will never understand what the victory of the cross was until we fully understand the powers of witchcraft and of darkness and of the supernatural forces. Power that could even hold prisoner the soul consciousnesses of God's own children from Adam down to the time of Christ. And Christ, by that power which was within him, was not only able to break the powers of darkness and break the powers of Lucifer, but Christ brought them forth and led them from captivity on high. Therefore, he has also committed unto you and I, who are his church as well as his family, the power to combat modern witchcraft. As I have cited to you, the witchcraft is the necronomancy again. It's the vain repetition, but it's also the pattern of repetition of satanic ideas and principles that destroy the kingdom. It's the chasing after familiar spirits. It's the use of the Ouija board, which Ouija spirit rebelled with Lucifer and is one of the most evil of all of the communication lines today before the American public. Now, with these factors, and then, of course, they use the mysterious tricks. Of course, they always attempt to attract men like this. The yogis will try this trick to try to attract the stranger that goes in India. They send the rope up, and the rope does go up. They send up the man who disappears and comes back down. All these things are done. Men are mystified. They're amazed. Some of them may be mesmerized, but it happens to be the areas of witchcraft. Lucifer came to Jesus and said, "If I can just get him now to succumb to my witchcraft, I'll have power over this man, and he'll never be able to accomplish an atonement." And so therefore, Lucifer says, "Why, you say you're hungry? Why don't you turn these stones into bread? You got the power. Come on now, turn these stones into bread. I'll help you. Turn these stones into bread." Jesus says, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So even Lucifer was faced with the fact that there was a greater power that stood before him. The policies of dancers that come out of the darkness, the guidance of evil spirits. You know, Bishop Pike, who happens to be a degenerate minister, don't you for one moment think there's any blessings of God upon this man. This man is a totally captive mind. In fact, whereas he's repudiated all the great fundamentals of the scripture, he now is talking about how the people will be able to communicate with the dead. And he says, "I can prove that there's life beyond the grave, because he's going to a medium that has put him in contact with his son, and his son who committed suicide because his father hadn't left him any faith and had taken away everything, and he committed suicide. The son now is coming back to praise the father." Says this book he's just written, everybody should read it, and all how the son talks through the medium about how everybody should read his father's book. Why, this is a book on witchcraft again, because this man has fallen for mediumship and fallen for the apostasy of the age. And so at the Episcopal Convention, Bishop Pike talks about the evidence of the supernatural, of course, is the mediumship and the talking of the dead to the living and so forth, which again follows the pattern of witchcraft. It never unbraids him. Never does the son unbraid the father, because he doesn't believe in the virgin birth or the blood atonement. The son, my friends, is not the son. It's another evil spirit talking back to the father, wrapped up an evil charlatanry trying to sell Christianity down the river.
I tell you that it's high time that this ceased. The charlatanry is easy tricks. They elevate tables, and table elevating is done as an evil spirit operation. It's been on for years. They elevate tables. They project pictures upon screens, apparently from the eyes of the medium. All these are the tricks to stop an individual. A Christian should have nothing to do with one of these sessions, should have no part with a medium pattern, should have nothing to do with any of the witchcraft that emerges out of the centers of witchcraft today, because they are capturing too many of your people. But at the same time, you have the power to bind up witchcraft at its source. And so if the children of the kingdom, if the sons of the Most High God would recognize this, they can, with the name of Jesus, Yahshua, bind the power of witchcraft. They can bind the power of a medium. They can bind the processes which are being used in your nation against you. If Christians across the nation would join in prayer at a certain time every morning, binding up all the foul influences that come over television and radio for the United Nations or any of these evils, and bound it in the name of Christ, it would have one of the most startling effects upon receivers that you have ever heard in the United States. You know, it's about time that Christians got together and bound the idolater that happens to be in the Pentagon, the Sabunist. It's about time we bound all of the Jews that are in cabinet posts and around the President of the United States because they are the sons of Lucifer. Bind them by the name of Jesus, and I'm going to tell you that as Yahshua Jesus is used against them, they will be powerless. All it takes is the functioning attitude of the Christian. The Christian is capable, therefore, of recognizing that Christ on Calvary consummated a great victory. Not only did he consummate a victory, but he proved it as he took all of the Adamic race out of the claws of Lucifer and took them into the heavens. Now, by what procedure? All right, through the atonement. Since in the atoning work of Christ we have not only redemption for Israel promised, but we have salvation of the souls. We have not only this, we have healing for our bodies. We may plead the blood of Christ's sacrifice over the nation that you love, over any incident in the nation, over any condition in the nation, and it will separate the evil from that condition. This is one of the script things in the scripture. Do you know that God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon my sons and my daughters. I'm going to put my wisdom in their minds. I'm going to keep them a challenged people that they may stand out against the powers of darkness and the forces of evil. I'm going to tell you that the Holy Spirit of God is a greater power, a far greater power than Lucifer in all his works. There is no greater power on the face of the earth than the Holy Spirit of God descending upon the consciousness of man to be utilized by the children of the Most High against the works of the enemy. As you call upon the power of the Spirit of God upon your family name in the name of Yahshua, and you condemn the powers of darkness and call on the inference of these names, you're going to discover that victory will be yours. The procedure is one that always causes the medium to respond with cursing. It brings the evil spirit out with a crying out. Also, they have sought to destroy America as a Christian nation. They've sought to take the name of Christ and the concept of a Christian people away from you. As long as you keep the concept that you are a white race, you are the children of God, that you stand against the witchcraft, the powers of darkness, and the false miracle, as long as you will identify yourselves with the name of your God and with the name of Yahweh Yahshua, you condemn all the policies of darkness, you shall be a victorious people. You shall rise, you shall see your strength, and the power of darkness and confusion will flee. People have never tried their heritages yet fully upon the powers of the darkness. The church has been too wrapped up either in the false patterns of the necromancy of the enemy, or by the same token, again, many of the churches are all wound up in the areas of their doctrine and don't realize they have a responsibility in the kingdom to throw out the powers of darkness, to battle against Lucifer, and to occupy until Christ returns. And I want you to realize today that you have in the name of God, you have in the power of his atonement and the power of his blood, which was a sufficient atonement, that Lucifer quails before it to defy the powers of darkness. And even though Lucifer fills up the sum of wisdom, he cannot measure against the wisdom of the children of God who have the Spirit of God and have therefore the knowledge of all things at their disposal. So as he works his dark works of art, as he seeks to capture the minds of men, as he seeks to destroy your society and to mesmerize you into believing the things of error, be sure of this. Keep a sound mind. You're told over here now by Paul, keep a sound mind in your head.
Keep the ability to reason. Never permit the pattern of reason to leave you. Don't be so mesmerized by the picture tube or the voice you hear that your mind does not fight it, does not resist it, doesn't get angry at the propaganda or the doctrine, that you don't confound it by the name of Christ.
I'll tell you this, that if this were to transpire, there'd be more catastrophe than you ever have witnessed in the area of the enemy. Why, the very transmitters would not be able to put out the darkness. They would have power failures across America as they've never had before if the power of God's Holy Spirit were laid like an axe to the tree from whence cometh the mesmerism and the witchcraft of your time. A psychiatrist today is generally speaking, a doctor who studies the nerves and the concept of the mind and the processes of thought. A psychologist studies only the processes of thought and the areas that are supposed to induce thought. But I want you to know that the majority of psychiatrists and the majority of psychologists in your schools and your colleges in your nation happen to be Jews who are the children of Lucifer and are studying these procedures so that they might subject them to the dark arts of Lucifer. And therefore, I tell you that most psychiatrists and most psychologists are devils. Inside of Germany, they have a few that are not, and there's a few that are in this country that are definitely students of the brain and so forth. But majority of these men are still seeking to apply the areas of darkness to the control of the human mind. Witchcraft focuses on the mind, gains control of the soul consciousness as it controls the mind, and will destroy anything that it gets its hands on in control. Unless, my friends, it is delivered in the name of Christ and in the power of God's kingdom. I tell you that one of the most important procedures the church has today is to combat supernatural witchcraft, which will have to fail before the supernatural power of Most High God, which with prophecy has established itself with vision works and can destroy the works of the devil. You say, how can we destroy the works of the devil? You better start trying it, because the devil is here seeking who he may devour. His time is short, and out of the earth is coming like a dark smoke, as you're told in Revelation. All these spirits of devils, every foul and evil spirit in Mystery Babylon and the world organization around you has come out of the nethermost world, and the kingdom is going to be triumphant, but it's going to be triumphant through the mighty achievement of denouncing these things by our God who was victorious and who gives us this power. And so as we look out over the situations of the nation of the world, we want you to realize that all the areas of darkness, all the minority groups that are not of the kingdom, all the people that operate with the twisted mentality that Jewry has brought to the motion picture industry or brought to the areas of their publication, these people turn to the Ouija board. The Ouija boards across the nation and across your city and across the American life have there's 60 million homes with Ouija boards in it, they estimate today. It's one of the biggest areas of profit that Parker Brothers ever got into. Now, let me tell you this. This is inviting the aid to Lucifer, the false advisor to as many people, into your home. And this is one thing that should be thrown out, burned up, and totally removed, as should any of the policies that Lucifer is utilizing to gain the ear of the American people. It's about time that the children of God said, we are the children of God, we are the sons and daughters of Yahweh, and we recognize our heritage. And by the blood of Yahshua, who gave us a complete redemption and atonement, we blast every works of Lucifer and call upon the power of God for their destruction. For God says, as you call on me, I'll deliver you. And he says, I'll destroy the witchcraft, I'll destroy the idolater, and I'll take the heathen out of your midst. I think that would be the greatest day of sunshine in America, when the heathen leave your nation. We're going to speak to you tonight on the subject of why do the heathen rage. This is our subject for this evening. Why do the heathen rage? We urge you to come out to this subject also this evening, and again to support the program of our tape ministry. The tape ministry is continuing to roll out across this continent and across other continents. It's spreading, it's growing week after week, and more and more people are on it, and more tapes are being made, and more tapes by arrangement are being made. So again, your voice is still going out to white men and to the ends of the earth. So we urge you with your tithes and your offerings that you help keep this operation going, because it's a very vital program in the God's kingdom. Helping also with your offerings, which meet the auditorium rent, the cost of staff, and so forth. So we urge you with your tithes and offerings that you give us assistance at this time. Almighty and eternal Father, we invoke the unction of thy Holy Spirit to rest at this time upon this offering, bless this offering, multiply this offering to carry forward the gospel of thy kingdom, the work of thy church, supply the needs of this people according to thy greatness and power and glory in thy name. Amen. Good evening, friends. Let's unite in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, grant the unction of thy Holy Spirit to rest upon our meditation, recognizing that thy children assemble in thy midst, because you have assured us that you would be in our presence even to the end of the age, to be guided by thy Spirit to worship as we have been so often in all the patterns of thy instruction told to assemble, is to bring together thy household for the pattern of instruction. We thank thee, our Father, for thy word. We thank thee for the surety which it brings upon us, for the realization that it shall come to pass, and that we are participating in these series of events. So in this hour, as we meditate upon thy word, we pray that thou shalt grant unto us the understanding and the wisdom that we shall fulfill all the patterns that you have indicated. May thy blessing to rest upon us. In thy name we ask it. Amen. We now hear that there's been no wonder that some people have stayed away today. We find radio stations have been putting out announcements telling people to stay in their homes, that the fires, both the ones in Santa Paula that have reached over clear over almost to the Chatsworth fire, and the fire which we have in Ventura County and moving over into the Encino area. And then there have been fires started now out in the Whittier area, and that's a tremendous fire. And there have been fires which have been put out that were set by Silver Lake, and they were set in Griffith Park, and they've been managed to gain these under control, and they've told people that they feel that people should stay by their homes, that they have not yet established whether the Negroes have started their Burn Bravey Burn program that they announced that they were going to supply, but they're very much disturbed because if they have, while fire engines and policemen converge on these areas, they will then start fires and problems in other areas. And so they're asking people to stay at home so they can handle these situations. But it may be that they're also advising them, because they ask them to stay at home and keep their eye on the location of the situation, that they're very much disturbed against the starting of fires. That the Negroes do respond at the present time, or whether they're just testing to see how far they can go with the dry tinder of the brush areas, one does not know. It's a very strange thing, however, that today we should have 7 fires already break out, 4 of them to immense proportions, and there's no significant reason for these fires. It was not started by getting away of a fire or a burning or anything legitimate, and they're very much disturbed about it. So again, we tell you that with the cry, burn, baby, burn, this well may be the getting underway of the open warfare that the Negroes are going to start this fall. Remember that in the plan that they called not only for the design against the community, but they wanted to gather officers and policemen, and when they got them on the outskirts of communities, they were going to liquidate and shoot the policemen. This is the plan that they've worked out for this city, and then the hurling of Molotov cocktails and the raiding on various areas of the community is one of the situations that we have to contend with in this racial war against Negroes. I think that we should well be aware of the fact that Negroes are acting as savages, and they are not at any time to be given any mercy if they move upon your community. In fact, I think that you will have one of the most outstanding records of the nature of Negroes that was brought to pass in Cincinnati. This week in Cincinnati, we have one of the most vicious areas of reporting to give you, but the reporting is still true, and it appeared in the newspapers. The Negroes in the high school corridors of the Cincinnati High School, one of the major high schools in Cincinnati, surrounded white girls, 4 and 5 Negroes deep, and they started to sing and chant and yell while they stripped the girls off and raped the girls in the schoolyards in the corridors of Cincinnati High School. 14 girls were raped while they were surrounded and disrobed and raped in the high schools of Cincinnati. In Newark, New Jersey, why they started beating white youths, and they put a great number of white youths in the hospital as Negro gangs started to beat them unmercifully in the corridors of the school. The chief of police in Cincinnati says that when he entered into the school, that Negroes were beating white children, and he said he had small girls even that were stripped of their clothing and were savagely beaten. He made many arrests, he said, of juveniles, Negroes, but he says he told the city council of Cincinnati, you have no idea what these savages are like when they turn loose their hate against the white race. I think it's about time that Christian Americans determined that this thing is going to stop, It's going to stop. If we can't get law enforcement with capacity to stop it, then we'll have vigilantes from one end of this nation to the other that will put a stop to this savage outbreak against the white society. Very, very definitely, this is another one of those peculiar bands of operation. Don't forget that this Saturday happens to be 0 hour for the great communist design. The Negroes talk upon demonstrations in Washington. The hippies talk about their demonstrations coming up in Washington. And they're designed to attack the Pentagon, to wall off the Sheraton Hotel in Washington, D.C., where 4,000 business executives from American firms will be. And they hope that in this operation that the police and the army will be called out because they claim they're willing to give it battle. And then they hope that the president will put into effect his emergency executive order that will place martial law over the nation. So the commies figure they're going to gain with martial law as well. And of course, if they put martial law in the hands of the Attorney General of the United States, it would be like calling in a communist and turning it over to him by the areas of the ways that he would enforce it, because we discover that all these things are playing into the hands of the enemy. And so remember that all the governors of the United States are now leaving tomorrow morning on a great big luxury liner to go to the Virgin Islands. And the governor of the Virgin Islands is going to be their host for the great governor's convention in the Virgin Islands. And the president of the United States will be out of the country too, for he's flying to the Virgin Islands to participate in this. And then on the 21st, next Saturday, they'll all be coming back on a great luxury liner to the United States. I also don't think this is a wise thing. I don't think all 50 governors of the United States should ever get on any one ship at any time, because all the Reds would have to do would be to torpedo it, and they would have the nation in chaos. The president, of course, will fly in a plane, but the same situation will transpire while the Reds claim that they're going to start their open revolution with all the Red facets of their enterprises moving in revolution in Washington on the 21st. So these are just some of the situations that you face. As we turn tonight to our subject, why do the heathen rage? Well, we turn now to the second psalm. Here the psalmist is prophetically looking forward to the climactic day in which God declares that he's going to put his incarnate body upon the throne of his people, and that he refers to his anointed not only as he refers to his embodiment, but he talks about the household of the peoples of his kingdom, who he declares in other passages are his anointed. So God makes the statement here, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? For the kings of the earth set themselves and their rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed. So we have this realization that they are against the Most High God, and they are against his anointed, which are his people, because the word of God says, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh thy Lord is one Lord." So therefore, when they take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, it's not two gods, it's one God and his household that they are against. Why are they against it? Well, because as we talked this afternoon about the procedures of Luciferian fighting and battling for the earth, he utilizes witchcraft and deception and hath stolen the minds of the pagans that are throughout the world today. The peoples of the areas of Africa and of Asia have been taken over by Luciferian doctrines and by his fallen angels and by the witches and wizards that are his offspring and his children. They have not only been taught to serve idol gods and pagan gods, but they have been taught throughout the years by these evil priests to hate the standards of God and his kingdom. For from the very beginning of the Adamic race and the establishment of the laws of God with the house of Israel and the establishment of the procedures that God outlines as his kingdom to take over and rule the world, all of the nations that have been under the control of Lucifer have been in rebellious state. Remember that you can go back into the Old Testament, and from the earliest time of the Old Testament, the hill people from the Assyrians, the forces of darkness of the Philistines, the children of Bel, which is Luciferianism again, have always been battling the kingdom of God. There's no time when you find any peace between any of the pagan countries and God's household and God's kingdom. So the heathen rage, and they imagine a vain thing. The first place, they don't like the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God rules the world with righteousness and with law. Wherever you find law, you find government, and you find government that is built upon a pattern that is not changed and is not removed as long as the law becomes the basis of that kingdom. The kingdom of God is based on the laws of God. Now, there are bad laws in pagan administrations and in pagan governments, but the laws of God are righteous and they are true. The kings of the earth and the pagans do not like to be ruled by righteous law. Therefore, they are an objection against not only the ruler, but the laws of the kingdom. The heathen rage, they pulse, they vibrate to destroy all the operations of God's kingdom. In fact, we discover this is quite true. The pagans rise, the communists today, which are supposedly against all religions, are only against Christianity. Let's face this. Communism only seeks to destroy Christianity. Why, it moves in with the Buddhists, and the Buddhists are communists, and the Buddhists support communism. The Hindus support communism, and in the areas of Brahma, Vishnu, Siva, and Kali worship, they support the policies of the Antichrist program of religion. And in the areas of the witch doctors and the voodoo doctors of Africa, they turn against you, but they embrace the areas of communism, and they move again against the white race. They move against its laws, they move against its kings, its rulers, and therefore they are against you and against your society. And the kingdom, the nations of the pagans, they just vibrate with their hatred. They vibrate, they scream, they shriek, they holler, they cry out before the nations because they hate you, and they hate the embodiment of your God. They hate the concept that Yahweh is Yahshua, and that you are the children of the kingdom and destined to rule the world. They hate that. They hate the laws that you observe. They do not possess them themselves, and they do not want you to possess them. The concepts of property rights and the concepts against theft and against immorality and degeneration and depravity upon which the Luciferian kingdom flourishes, they despise it and they hate it. Even though their degeneration, their depravity will make them so numerous that they can't feed themselves and stretch out upon them the judgments that come because they have opposed the concept of the Most High God, still it says the heathen rage, they vibrate in their raging. They imagine a vain thing that they're going to be triumphant in the earth, that they're going to take the world. They have fallen for the mesmerism of constant, repeated drivel that comes from the leaders of world communism and gathers their hordes to attack you. You today in America are one of the main targets of the pagan world. Your destruction, the dissolving of America, and the utter enslavement of your people, with the women of your nation being let off for all the patterns of slavery that they can imagine for you, the liquidation of your men or the enslavement of your men is a part of the great dream of the communist world and the pagan world. Why, they have great billboards today inside of China, and they refresh them as they wear out, showing the Chinamen returning with the white women with ropes around their necks, coming back as slaves from North America. I have looked at pictures taken by travelers that were taken inside of China, as around their factories they show their utter hatred and contempt for you, as they sell themselves with carts and with trucks, coming back with all the things that you're supposed to have. You've stolen them, of course, from them. You've taken away the washing machines and the televisions. They just can't have any because you've taken them from them. Of course, the fact that they never developed them for their people doesn't seem to enter into this picture. They're coming home with the loot, and they're coming home with all that you have gained and all that you have made, and they look upon the pattern of pictures of Mongolian and Chinese overlords ruling over the great areas of your property and your territory. They live by this creed, even as the doctrines of Lucifer scatter throughout the African nations, and well it can, because most of them have been controlled by voodooism and witch doctors. And they have been told that you are exploiting the world, that you are grinding down the world, but as they join with the pagans of the earth against your Christian civilization, they shall be free. There's no question that their mental abilities to think with equality like that of the white man is totally restricted because they haven't the capacities in their brain. Their brain never expands beyond that of a 10-year-old child in America anyhow, or a 12-year-old child at the best, because their cranium is all sutured up by the time they're 12 years old. Yours continues to grow to your 18 to 23. But the pattern remains that with their background and their concepts, they still have hatred against you. And of course, they haven't good sense. They have hatred against one another, too. Because if they run out of white men to shoot, they start shooting one another. It's been well depicted by documentary films brought back from Africa over the last few years. Because the United Nations, which is a program of Antichrist, and which actually is the organization in which the pagan powers can gain dominance over you while there's an appearance of legality in the procedure. In other words, the pagans can come with force and with violence, and they will have to battle the white man.
And if they come with force and violence, the white man will strike down the pagan. He'll destroy their communities and their cities and their homes. And so the wily sons of Lucifer said, there's another way. There's another way. We're going to build a great program of peace, which evolves into a world government. And then because we are 5/6 of the world, we're going to take over that 1/6 of the world. We're going to outvote it and outmaneuver it. And if they rise up, then we, as a united world, will crush them. We'll put them down. We'll dissolve their sovereignty, dissolve their independence. We are going to capture Christianity and the Christian nations by this subtlety. And so by this witchcraft, the United Nations is the instrument of Antichrist and is one of the most devilish designed agencies on the face of the earth. And the heathen are raging and they're imagining a vain thing. They say, we're not going to be ruled by Christian nations. In fact, against the areas of colonization and the areas of the sowing of the fields and the raking back of the jungle and the establishment of sufficient food supply to feed Africa and the development of the mines and the development of the industries, white man was giving a great semblance of reality to the great areas of Africa that had no reality under voodooism and darkness. They did come out, however, and say that we worship the Yahweh God who we find represented in the man Christ Jesus. Christianity went wherever the empire of colonialism went. You can talk about colonialism as you want to because they bring up a tremendous attack on colonialism all the time. But where colonialism went, the cross of Christ went. You can listen to the propagandists that say that soldiers followed the cross of Christ. Yes, soldiers followed the cross of Christ to see that when they set that up, that pagans and heathen would not destroy it. Or you say, well, the pagans owned this part of the country. We went in and took it. This world belongs to our Father. I want you to understand that now. Somebody might come along and say, this is racism. Well, call it racism if you want, because it's the most important thing you understand what race the Bible's talking about. The world was in the hands of pagans till the Adamic race came along. The laws of God extend the patterns of divine law to cover the pagan. And the pagan, as he turns to the worship of the right God, or at least works within the structure of the community of God's kingdom, not only is his lot better than it was before, but he stands a great program of justice under the program of God's kingdom. But they're not concerned about this. They designed to break down the program of the kingdom. Someone said, you think we have a colonial right to move to Africa? Yes, I think South Africa, where there wasn't anyone living, had a great right to settle that land. I think Rhodesia operates under divine right. I believe that when the Belgians were in the Congo, they operated under divine right. In fact, when they talk about the meanness and the treachery that the white race have dealt with the nations of the world, this is all propaganda. And, of course, it's as much United Nations hogwash. Naturally, men are not going to destroy anyone that would be of value to them. They're not going to attack people that are submissive to divine law. When they went in, there was nothing around except tribes eating one another. And they have built great civilizations. The majestic cities that were once Elizabethville or Leopoldville or any of these cities in the Congo were the areas of progress and enterprise. And after the United Nations came in and they turned them over to the Negroes, they became the areas of savagery. Cannibalism was practiced in the cities. And then everything of ingenuity ran down. There's no elevators being repaired. There's no sanitation in the city. There's none of these things that are just the normal responsibility of white men. And the white cities are ceasing to be white as they're degenerating under Negro rule. The pattern is very, very simple here. The white race was the household of the Most High God. They're the children of the Most High God. They govern wisely and they rule with creative purpose. They do not make it necessary anymore for Negroes to move out and practically starve to death in their peculiar policies of preying on one another in their long and bitter wars. And they eat one another because they have been trained to do this. Well, this is all right if Negroes eat Negroes, but it's not going to take place under any of the nations of God's kingdom where the law will not permit it. Now, you say, well, what about Asia? What about India? The British Empire ruled India. India just got its freedom. What a wonderful thing. India was better off under the British Empire than it has ever been since that date under any Indian ruler. These Indian rulers are not only governed by pagans and pagan gods, by Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, and Kali, but in their policies and in their paganisms, the daughters of India serve as vestal virgins in the temples of their pagan gods. The young men of India visit the girls and raise children out of wedlock by the thousands upon the thousands and the millions. The 586 million people in India, note that 1/4 of the children of India are born as the temple vestal virgins are born out of wedlock. Think that over. realize that the policies of paganism and of darkness create the tremendous populations of India before they are released from the temple virgin capacity to even marry inside of their race. Why, their degeneration and their depravity and the foolish superstitions that they put out over the people that they're visited by the gods and the children are the children of the temple and so forth. All this is the rottenness of pagan India. And of course, the resulting situation is that they can't even grow enough to feed them, and they haven't the mental abilities and the intellectual capacities, and their lack of initiative is quite obvious. The heathen may rage. My, they'll take all that America will give them in wheat and all that we'll give them in goods, and then they rage against us that they have a superior civilization and society. They rage against us because we retain any semblance of our freedom. They talk about the necessity of building one world that would be united with pagan India would place America on the level of the peons of Mexico. I'm going to tell you that the white Christian civilization of the Western world has its destiny and its separation, its segregation. Even though the heathen rage and imagine a vain thing, the program of God's kingdom will be that we're not going to take this much longer. We're going to put the heathen back in their place. We're going to rule over the earth from one end of the world to the other.
We think of the Buddhists. We're told Buddha, after all, we've got to be tolerant, they say, to Buddhism. We've got to respect every man's religion. Buddhism, they say, is a beautiful religion, is it? Well, somebody's been reading some book about the lotus flower. Somehow they've got it connected with Buddhism, and they think the lotus flower is pretty, and they think meditation on the lotus flower must be a pretty thing. Well, you can do all the thinking you want in one day on the lotus flower, say. But the fact remains that behind it all are the principles of Buddhism, which are basically anti-Christian to such a hatred that Buddhism openly embraces the political policies of anti-Christ, and all of Buddhism is against Christianity and Christian survival. Why, let's look at the Vietman and the Vietcong. In fact, long before you were directly involved in this great basic battle and war, the Vietcong, with its communist program, was attacking the South Vietnamese area because the South Vietnamese government was in the hands of Christians. You say, what do you mean? Well, the South Vietnamese area had 30% of its people Christian. And the president of the country and his cabinet were Christians. And therefore, these were, you say, well, how could they be Christians? They were Vietcongs. As far as their mental capacities were able to absorb the Christian faith, they were Christians. They did belong most basically to the Catholic Church, but a third of the government of the peoples of the Vietcong were Christian, and they ruled wisely and fairly, even over the Buddhists that were in their land. And we discovered that in the thing that was giving success to the Vietcong was that the Buddhist priests in the South Vietnamese area were traitors to their area of their country and were serving the communist cause. In fact, the areas of communication between the North Communists and North Vietcong and communism in the South Vietcong was being actually operated by high positions of pagoda Buddhists. In fact, the chief of the religion of Buddhism inside of the South Vietnamese area was utilizing the sacred carts of the Buddhists. Which strange little carts towed by their oxen and their asses came in and out of the country. In these carts, they were smuggling machine guns, communication equipment. Every Buddhist pagoda in the South Vietnamese area was a sending station for the communists while they observed everything going on inside that communist country. The Buddhists were determined they were going to get the Christian control out of the South Vietnamese area, and they prayed against it. In fact, when we first entered the war as advisors and before we were actually participants in that war, you'll remember that as we were advising, we discovered that these things were true. Why, one day a Buddhist cart was stopped at the border from the North Vietcong to the South Vietcong areas where it had just come over the border and a wheel had come off. And as the wheel came off, it spilled out of that cart automatic weapons and radio equipment. And, of course, this started the Christian Vietnamese government of the South to investigate the carts coming across with Buddhist priests in them. And they found that they were running arms and they were areas of communication because everywhere where you find Buddhism, you found the program of Antichrist and hatred of Christianity. Well, of course, I want to point out that your government wasn't too wise either. You know, the President of the United States said last year, and I'm going to read what he said in quote. He says, President Johnson, since 1945,
We have opposed communist efforts to bring about a communist-dominated world. Well, he may think so. He may be brainwashed, but the administration of the country and the powers that are in positions have not been opposing communist kingdoms. They have been aiding communist countries. For instance, let me point out to you now, 14 countries, which our country has aided the communists with no win wars and foreign aid, eastern trade, 14 countries were Albania, Bulgaria, Cuba, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, Hungary, North Korea, North Vietnam, Outer Mongolia, Poland, Red China, Romania, Tibet, and Yugoslavia. Now, the combined population of these areas are 918 million people, and the agencies of the pagans that have moved into your own government have turned over 918 million people to the Reds. Let me point this out now. The United States government helped the communists take virtual control of Afghanistan, Algeria, British Columbia, Cambodia, Cameroon, Egypt, Guinea, Iceland, Iraq, Kenya Colony, Laos, Somalia, Syria, Tanzania, Tunisia, and Venezuela. And that's 124 million people. In other words, the President of the United States better wake up and he better start firing the pagan heathen that he is involved in areas of his cabinet post, or we're going to think that he happens to be a communist and remove him as well. I want you to know that while the heathen rage, strange thing was that what did we do? We therefore contacted the Buddhists on both sides. We sent supposed representatives with their Jewish power control, and we told the Buddhists that we were going to unseat the Christians. In fact, we even armed Buddhist revolutionists that started up a war from behind. And of course, as you know, they shot the Christian ruler in Vietnamese. They took his brother and his family, all of them into prison chambers, and they liquidated every one of them but Madame Nu. No wonder Madame Nu was so vitriolic when she was here in the United States, because she knew that the traitors in the United States government had liquidated the Christian administration of the Vietnamese area. And I want to tell you something. Did you know that you haven't won one single facet of warfare in the Vietnamese area since that happened, since the Buddhists took over? Oh, you say, oh yes, we've had many victories. Why, we've been pouring men in there now. At that time, we only had about 2,000 men there. Now we are pouring men in until we have tremendous amounts of men and all types of civilians. We have built up Saigon and to be the future headquarters for the United Nations, but we built this up. And we are now employing vast numbers, and the Buddhists are mostly in power, and the Buddhists are on both sides. And I want you to know something. You know that you're employing in your war industries over there men who work for you by day and then prowl and fire on your troops by night and blow up and destroy your installations by night, and by day they're employees back in your factories. This is a known fact, and workers over there will tell you this, and so also will officers of corporations, because you haven't anything but a Hindu dominant population that you can't count on, because every one of these priests are on the side of the Reds. In fact, right now there's a battle over the elections. People talk about fair elections and fine elections among these pagans. Let me tell you something. As long as Hinduism and Buddhism controls the VidCon, you're never going to get anything fair. It's going to go the way the Saffron Robe priests want it to go. And if somebody happens to be elected or moves into power that doesn't favor them, they're going to stir up riot and problem and trouble until they do. And eventually, of course, your government will give in to this thing, because you have today your government controlled by the pagans. They're angry because they can't seem to topple it, but they're still in there. The heathen, imagine, a vain thing. Yes, you haven't won a war. You've escalated a war until you're throwing the weight of America against a fifth-rate power in Asia, and the communists are feeding and supplying the area with ammunition and equipment, and nuclear weapons are being developed in China, and missiles are being developed. They're going to put also, I'm going to tell you something, in just 2 months, they're going to put a satellite around the world. A nuclear-carrying satellite is going to leave from Red China. That's how far they have advanced, as the areas of Soviet Russia have given the know-how to the Red Chinese. And I want you to know that while all this is going on, we're being warned by those that are telling us that we're battling the war, that we got to look out. We don't want to involve Red China, because if we escalate this, we're going to have a terrible war. While at the same time, they're doing their best to escalate the war without doing any real damage to the communists. This is why our officers and our military are unhappy. They say, we're not doing any real damage to the communists. We want to bomb Haiphong shut. We want to destroy Hanoi. Why, one of the Air Force commanders said over the radio and television the other night that we could totally destroy Hanoi and Haiphong and do it in 1 week and end the war. Well, it's about time we used the ingenuity and intelligence God gave us to throw off the powers of darkness and win this war. Because we're battling side by side with the pagans, and God says, I'm going to cut off the witchcraft in thy nation. I'm going to bring my vengeance and my anger upon the heathen. I'm going to destroy idolatry in your midst. Well, I think again, as I said this afternoon, we better get in and somehow fire Mr. McNamara because he's a Buddhist. A Christian nation like this has no right to have anyone but Christians in areas of authority and power. You're the majority. You can vote as you will. And this is one of the situations. Well, someone says, of course, what pagans do we have in power? I'm going to tell you the most pagan society on the face of the earth are the children of Lucifer, and they work the powers of Antichrist. Organized Jewry make up the most evil devils that the world possesses in any religion on the face of the earth. Someone says, well, can you establish that? Yes, I can establish that. For instance, at the present time, and these are the statistics at the present time, and I read from a Washington newspaper, and listen what it says. It says that in the area of Washington, D.C., that the men that are controlling the United States of America today in the areas of its policy happen to be, of course, and it starts out with the fact with Rustow. And then after Rustow, Mr. Isaacs, and then after Mr. Isaacs, Mr. Forbes, who's on the Supreme Court, these three men are designing and controlling the entire foreign policy of the United States. These men are anti-defamation league Jews. These men are enemies of America, and I can point this out to you and establish it with no question. For instance, let's turn to the procedure. Mr. Rustow, of course, as you know, captured MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, to make it, by its research, which it secured $6 million for to start it off, research for foreign policy of the government of the United States. Now, I don't know why that this institution should become expert, but they put so many Jewish professors in here to do the work that no wonder Mr. Rustow, who happens to be a Russian-born Jewish descendant, because his parents are Russian-born Jews, he was born here, but his parents were Russian-born Jews. Now, this man sets up MIT, and MIT comes out with the most colossal red design for the world that has ever come out. Now, under this circumstance, Mr. Rustow published a book, The United States and World Affairs. Now, what does this book, The United States and World Affairs, say? He said, what has now become official policy spelled out in 549 of this CIA finance book. Now, this is a statement. It is a legitimate American national objective to see removed from all nations, including the United States, the right to use military force to pursue any interest. We recognize that disarmament drives have translated itself into the shortages of vitally needed weaponry in the Vietnam, and a one-way reliance on supposed tax arm control agreements with the Soviets, which never have entered into or will be observed. So Mr. Rustow says, since the residual right is the root of national sovereignty and the basis for the existence of international arenas of power, it is therefore an American interest to see an end to nationhood as it has been historically defined. Then he calls on the fact that this nationhood is not only nationhood for the world, but nationhood for the United States must be dissolved, it must be surrendered, and world government must take its place. This, my friends, is a treasonable statement. This man, this Jew, who happens to be now the most powerful man in foreign policy in the United States, has cited that you do not and have no right to remain a nation, that the power of world administration over America is inevitable, and we must surrender our armed forces and surrender our right to be a nation. We must decide and be ruled over by the decisions of the majority of people. This means the white race would never again have a single thing to say, and Christian civilization would be totally obliterated by the powers of darkness, by paganism and heathenism. This is why the heathen rage. They vibrate to tell you, they'll declare war on you, they'll do all these things, and then these international Jews say, but of course you can put this off, you can stop this if you'll join them, if you'll become a part of their world. They then will become peaceful, but they will rule. And so you have this pattern of organized Jewry. And of course, we can well understand what the Bible has to say about this group. What it tells us concerning organized Jewry and their patterns of their great evil, that they deny that Jesus is the Christ, that he's come in the flesh, and the same as Antichrist. The white race and Christian civilization have been carefully warned by the scriptures that have never returned void to the area of its inspiration, that there is no possible way that you can accept Antichrist and fuse yourself with it without bringing upon it yourself economic chaos and destruction. Yes, let the heathen rage, let them imagine a vain thing. Because one of the situations that you're going to be faced with is survival, and survival will follow the patterns of God's way and God's rule. And so you have these three Jews, for instance, the most powerful Jews in America. And they've sought every design they could think of. Remember, it was back in 1944 that we went to the Bretton Woods Conference. And who ran the Bretton Woods Conference? Another insidious Jew, Harry Dexter White, alias Weiss, ran the Bretton Woods Conference. You know what he set up? He set up the pattern, and he set up its programs. International Jewry from all over the world came together, and they talked at Bretton Woods, and they decided that they were going to take all the gold from the United States because they had a design for it. And so at the Bretton Woods Conference, they solidified the fact that when back in 1934, we passed the Federal Reserve Gold Act, of course, and we took all the gold away from the American citizens and said anybody on the foreign country that had a dollar could turn it back for gold, but you couldn't have gold. This, my friends, was the beginning of the policies that have been started by Colonel House, who was an enigmatic Jew that had strange control over President Wilson. Well, what took place then? Well, you can well see what took place, because the Bretton Woods Conference was to take away from you forever a balance of payments in world trade. In fact, it was so designed at Bretton Woods in order to extend the areas of the development of other countries that you would buy and buy and buy foreign goods. And so you shut down your areas of export while you bought foreign goods. It laid the axe to your mining industry and to the areas of your raw materials and your reserves while it spread you out, while at the same time it was set up to parley your gold away. Well, right now, of course, your gold is down to almost a minimum, and it is far less than necessary to back your money. And at the same time, gold happens to be the one unit of international exchange that still happens to be good. And there's $18 billion worth of gold in the hands of American citizens, and the Jews are doing their best to wriggle this out of you at the present time. And the government is in their hands, and with conspiracy, it designs to take away your gold. Actually, of course, there remains one great principle. Americans should determine, and they have to determine this, because they're not going to accept your balance of payments with paper, not with manufactured goods. They want to crush the dollar now and extinguish it as the standard of international exchange and force you into the world monetary policy of the United Nations and no longer have a currency of your own. Let me tell you that American citizens should rise up. Congressmen should rise up. One of these days, there's not going to be any salaries for congressmen, you know. There's not going to be any jobs for senators. If they want their jobs, they better wake up now, because there's no need for them under the provincial program of the United Nations and its world government. Only international finance at the world monetary level will be necessary, they say. All right, now, let me point out to you that we should once more establish the fact that we will have gold, and have gold at any price, that we will turn gold free. American citizens can have gold, and we will print money that will be backed up by American goods and interchangeable with gold if gold is available, and we will crack forever the control of international Babylon and their monetary design to loot you of gold. The moment the Jew can't have his siphon in to loot your gold and your silver, he'll get out of America. And he'll talk about how you burned him in the great ovens here, and what a cruel country you were, and seek to bring his pagan society down to destroy you or try you for the war crimes of liquidating him. And all 6 million of them that you burned up here will be residing in Brazil. This is the pattern of the nations that rage. And I want you to know that the one thing that we must unscramble, and one thing we will break one of these days, is their control over the head of gold. But this is the design. Now, Harry Dexter White was a Jew. His name was Harry Dexter Weiss. He was a member of the Communist Party. He worked right in with Rustow's and these others, even in his time. He was a communist agent. And when, of course, he said he wasn't a communist, then when the facts came out he was a communist, he committed suicide because he saw he was caught and was going to be sent to prison. And, of course, before they could extradite him from this situation, he committed suicide. But Bretton Woods has been the financial policy over this nation from that day to this, over your foreign exchange and over your control and over America's gold, and has brought great destruction. And who brought it out? The savage of the heathen. I want to point out to you today that all of America's troubles, hear this now, have been put together by the control of Lucifer, by his sons and by his daughters, while he stirs the raging of the nations round about. Oh, they say, we've got to satisfy the nations. If the nations are not satisfied, then we've got to meet their needs. And so they rage in India, they rage in China, they rage in Africa.
Well, as we see the trend, and the president says, oh, we're fighting communism and turning countries over to communism, and Americans are waking up and Europeans are waking up and they realize that we have this situation, then I'm going to tell you that we're going to have to say with no uncertain measure that we're going to eliminate the pagans in our society and out of the areas of our government and out of the control of our finance. We're going to return money back to the United States of America. We're going to return and control of our economy, and we're going to hit the enemy with everything we got if he doesn't shut up and retreat. We are headed for one of the most serious falls of history. And this fall and this winter, nuclear weapons are going to take their part inside the Vietnam War. Before we have passed into the spring, we may see some of these missiles shower down on the United States. I want to point out to you that you have a traitor right now, a solid traitor inside the Pentagon. And I can point out to you some of the policies that mark this position of traitor. Now, you know what McNamara is? I say he is a traitor. McNamara's pet economy is to cut back on all our nuclear missile production, while Amertag, which happens to be the Soviet nuclear missile program, is buying quantities of metal from the United States and paying premiums for rhodium, palladium, and platinum, which is essential for atomic missiles, and it is buying atomic missile supplies and building and stockpiling nuclear missiles. And Mr. McNamara wants to abandon all nuclear missiles because he says the escalation of the Vietnamese War requires that we abandon all the expenditure on nuclear missiles till we settle this war. And then he says this is going on for years and years until we bring the Vietcong to its knees. What he's attempting to do is even take away from you your strike policy that could destroy or bring catastrophe upon the cities of the Soviet Union. The pagan cries out in your midst, and it becomes a pattern of strangeness, because as he cries out, you find that the witch doctors turn loose on your youth and on your young people, until the hippies, which are being formed today, are supporting the communist policies, and they say, oh, we want no war, and we want no war against communist society. We don't want any missiles. We don't want any weapons. And we want a program of turning this money to the great programs of world government and world peace, and the Soviet Union is manufacturing weapons and arms as fast as possible, while the hippies of today are carrying the communist front line. No wonder, again, that we tell you that there's witchcraft and mesmerism, and by constant repetition, people's minds become brainwashed, and the press, the television, the radio, for 20 years have been constantly talking about the principles of communism. They've been hunting it up. They've been talking about peace. They've been talking about the world at peace, but they're talking about a world under communism, under socialism, and under one world government. And gradually, people's resistance have broken down, and they're beginning to think in this line. I want you to know that the Department of the Pentagon is the most important employer in the world. Just remember that. Do you know that there exists today in America 40% of all your employment in the United States in communities and towns is tiable directly to the Pentagon in the United States? And the employees are tied to the area of the supposed defense industry. Though the whole area of these industries are built up to a given point, and then programs stop and they start on another program, and you're not actually producing the vast sinews of war that you think you're producing, but the people are going to work, and the money is being supplied indirectly through the world monetary establishments, and you are going deeper into debt, but almost, here is the pattern, 30% of your nation are employed by the Pentagon, and the Pentagon is not utilizing the ingenuity and the technology of your society to give you a strike-first-win policy. The heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. Well, we can be thankful unto God that God finishes that chapter. For he speaks out then against the pagans and against the heathen. And he says, now therefore, he who sits in the highest heavens, Yahweh God, who looks down upon his race, upon the white race, who realize they've been negligent, they've let the strangers come in and rule over them. And God says, therefore, that they don't want your laws, they don't want your standards of righteousness, they don't want your colonies. They want none of these things. They say, let us break the bands asunder. Let us cast away the cords of the white man of the kingdom of God. And he that sits in the highest heavens, Yahweh God, will hold them in derision. And he shall speak unto them with his wrath and vex upon them his sword, his pleasure. For I have set my king upon the holy hill of Zion.
I shall utter the decree, and I shall say also to my children, thou art my children, and I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thy inheritance. I'll give you back the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Your colonies will be from pole to pole and from sea to sea, and you shall rule the world with the righteousness of my law. This is what God says. Now listen. Be wise, therefore, O ye kings, and be instructed. Before they are through, they shall kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish in the way. And the Most High, therefore, speaks out, and he says, come, Jacob, give me thy right hand. Fear not, for I will help thee, for thou art the spurn of my generations, O Jacob. Fear not, O men of Israel, I will help thee, for I am Yahweh, thy Redeemer, Yahshua, the Holy One of Israel. I will execute judgment, he says in Micah, in my anger, in my fury upon the heathen, such as they have never heard. I will deliver unto the household of my kingdom the administration of the earth, and the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy will take place, for the saints of the Most High God will take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. And so, as men start to move by faith, as they start to speak out by faith, Christianity must lift up its voice against the pagans, and God will bestow a victory upon his kingdom. But all of it is folly, and all of it is confusion, that talks about seeking to satisfy the pagans and the heathen with their pagan gods, with their patterns of darkness, with their patterns of immorality, with their flooding the world with populations they can't feed, while you help to feed even their ignorance and their gross violations of divine law. Wake up, O Israel, return to the laws of God, denounce the pagans, liquidate them if necessary, but bring back God's kingdom. Because you are in a serious hour, and God speaks out to his people. And in this hour he calls for his people to stand. And when they stand, there shall not remain a pagan, not one Canaanite, in the house of God. So as we see these things come to pass, let us remember that we as God's children are in the most vital area of all history. You know, I don't know of any time in history I'd rather live in than right now. Someone said, well, things are so terrible, but they're going to be so good. You know, the victory of God over his kingdom will be miraculous. It'll be a little flock with great victory over the majority of the people of the earth. If you ever wanted to live in miracle times, you're living in miracle times where God's going to act. He's going to respond to the calls of his people. I'd rather live now than any time in world's history, because it's going to be a great victory and a big victory. And all the powers of darkness that build up their opposition are just making it a bigger victory for you and for the kingdom. I would not miss the events of the next few years, because we are living in the most important time in human history, and we shall lift up our faces to whence cometh our King, and we shall see the armadas and armies of heaven join with those of earth as God subjects the pagans and the powers of darkness and the forces of communism to the rule of God's kingdom. Now, next Friday night, do not forget that we cover the events of world prophecy in the news of the week. In fact, Colonel Greer will be speaking here next Friday night. Do not forget this on world affairs and the areas of economy. He's well informed and versed on this, and so come out and hear him on Friday. Next Sunday afternoon, Dr. Richard Swift will be speaking here the afternoon on the gospel of the kingdom, and in the evening on the magnificence of the cross. Now, we want you to hear these messages. They'll be good and vital and of great significance to each one of you as citizens of God's kingdom. Do not forget this. We will be out of the state on next Sunday, but we will be returned by the following weekend. But next week, why, Colonel Greer will be speaking on Friday night, and Dr. Richard Swift will be speaking here on Sunday afternoon. We urge you to attend, bring out others to help keep this church filled as we preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now, again, we urge you with your tithes and offerings to hold up our hands that we might keep the tape ministry moving. It's expanding all the time. It costs more all the time. More people enter into it all the time. And, of course, the other churches, all of them are continuing their support. And still, it's always reaching out for more and more to scatter the tapes and to put them out by the thousands as you do. They move out over your nation. They move out over the world. They are the testimony of your race and your faith in the one God who is the master and king of your society and the father to his many children. So help us as we carry out this message of truth to the nations. And we urge you with your tithes and offerings, if you're holding back on tithe, or if you have a tithe that you don't know where to put it into the gospel of the kingdom and the state ministry now, because we vitally need every bit of assistance. Almighty and eternal Father, we invoke the unction of thy Holy Spirit to rest upon this offering. Bless this offering. Multiply it to carry forward the gospel of thy kingdom, to do the work of thy church. Supply the needs of this people, and we give thee thanks. In thy name we ask it. Amen.